you're really, really sick, that motivates you to want to be really, really well. If you're really, really broke, that motivates you to be really, really prosperous and abundant. If you're really, really lonely, that motivates you to want to be in a relationship with other people, maybe a soulmate. If you grew up in a broken family, that wants you to motivates you to want to have a healthy family. If you worked for an organization where leadership was poor, that motivates you to want to create great leadership in an organization. If you've been experiencing challenges in your business, in inconsistent lead generation, that motivates this desire, this imagination, this motivation for being able to have a consistent flow of high-paying clients and to go from being a solopreneur to an organization that employs thousands of people and impacts millions. It's through the contrast and the contracted experience, emotional experience of that which we do not like, that we are able to actually get clear on what we do want.
Welcome to A Changed Mind, a journey into the topics that matter to you most. From the neuroscience and spirituality of mindset and personal growth to groundbreaking strategies for health, wealth, and relationships, to open and honest conversations about pressing global issues such as the environment, censorship, corporate capture, and democracy. Each and every episode reminds us of the certainty of the goodness of the future and provides the teachings, tools, and timeless wisdom inspiring you to create real lasting change in your life and in the world. If you've been desiring a sanctuary for your spirit, a place to go to tune out the distraction, negativity, and doom and gloom so that you can tap into the deep power, the vibrancy, and the potential you have inside, you're in the right place. Welcome to A Changed Mind.
Hey, it's David. Welcome back to A Changed Mind, a sanctuary for your spirit, a place where each and every episode I will remind you of the certainty of the goodness of the future. I'm your friend, your host, your guide, a man on the great walk with so many of you. And I'm really excited about this episode because it's going even deeper on an episode that I had recorded previously called The New World Order. It's time to have this conversation. And I have been getting more and more and more requests to talk about how we can manage ourselves emotionally in a productive way as we become more aware of the things in the world that we don't agree with, things in the world that are occurring at what seems like significant scale, from habitat destruction to corporate capture of our medical industry, corporate capture of our government, the military-industrial complex, censorship, media propaganda, intelligence agencies utilizing their assets against civilians. A lot of the conversations or topics that we're becoming made aware of through independent media, whether you're listening to The Hill or Joe Rogan or Russell Brand or Jordan Peterson or the Weinsteins, there are a lot of people having disclosure conversations right now. And talking about, for example, the actual motivation for the war in Ukraine and how many people, educated people, believe it was not a war of provocation. Talking about the origins of the COVID-19 virus, which all signs seem to point to was a virus militarized, essentially created in a laboratory funded by the US in China, not some sort of crossover strain between wombats or penguins or pangolins and human beings. These are really big things. Some people are talking about the collapse of the financial system and the banking crises that we've been experiencing. And the purpose of this episode is not to bring our energy into the fear and the doom and the gloom of the disclosure process, of becoming educated around how systems and structures are functioning in our lives in ways that we do not agree with. This conversation is about how to perceive what's happening through right thinking, through an intelligent perspective that allows us to be productive with this information and to use it to become even more powerful in the creation of in our own individual lives and collectively as we move towards creating new systems and structures in the world. That's what this conversation is about. I really wanted to not script this episode because I want to have as authentic a conversation with you as I can and be available for the information as it's coming to me to share it with you. What I believe is that all is well in the world right now. I believe that everything that we're experiencing right now is a process, and it's a good process. It's what your New Age friends would call an awakening process. And if you're here listening to this conversation, you could be at a couple different stages of this awareness. You could be a stage of awareness, probably further into the spectrum of disclosure, or understanding how systems function, where you believe that Bill Gates is doing evil things in the world. By the way, YouTube, I'm not saying Bill Gates is doing evil things in the world because I don't want to be censored, but where you believe that the World Economic Forum is actually exerting its non-elected control towards totalitarian efforts. You could believe that a small handful of people control most of the world and have used their influence and their corporations that they control and the media that they control to enact some sort of global strategy that subjugates the many and gives control and power to the few. That's where you could be in this conversation. You could also be in a conversation where you go, hey, it's the left's fault. Hey, it's the right's fault. Hey, it's Joe Biden's fault. Hey, it's Donald Trump's fault. Hey, RFK Jr. is a conspiracy theorist and a whack job. Hey, there's no way that my doctor would lie to me, but I don't trust that this war in Ukraine is a noble war that's meant to protect the Ukrainian people. Hey, I follow CNN. Hey, I watch Fox News. I think the other one gives the wrong information. So you could be in sort of the polarity or the duality of the argument right now. And that's okay too. Or you might be just coming into this conversation saying, hey, Dave, I was really loving your episode on how to remove money blocks, and I'm curious to see where this episode is going to go. That's cool. So what I believe is that all is well, and that there is an unfolding taking place of what we would call consciousness, that humanity is evolving, that human beings are evolving. I believe that we are an extension of infinite intelligence, that there is one intelligence that extends itself through an individualized spirit into human beings through the radioactive mechanism of the brain and the heart, that we receive in a unique part of, let's call it God, into ourselves, and we live that experience. And this is all a mechanism for having experiences that we don't like so that we can become even more clear and focused on what we do want to create, and for enjoying the creation of those things that do bring us joy and exhilaration and happiness. It's a very sort of on the front line of the material world type of experience where we as human beings actually do create our own reality, and we're collectively creating a reality, which we would see as a global phenomenon today. And the reason why I say all is well is because I understand that when you're experiencing deep, dark challenges in your own individual life, that those challenges are mechanisms by which you are able to get even clearer on what you do want to create and to motivate you into the direction of that creation, which is a changed life. In other words, if you're really, really sick, that motivates you to want to be really, really well. If you're really, really broke, that motivates you to be really, really prosperous and abundant. If you're really, really lonely, that motivates you to want to be in a relationship with other people, maybe a soulmate. If you grew up in a broken family, that motivates you to want to have a healthy family. If you worked for an organization where leadership was poor, that motivates you to want to create great leadership in an organization. If you've been experiencing challenges in your business, in inconsistent lead generation, that motivates this desire, this imagination, this motivation for being able to have a consistent flow of high-paying clients and to go from being a solopreneur to an organization that employs thousands of people and impacts millions. It's through the contrast and the contracted experience, emotional experience of that which we do not like, that we are able to actually get clear on what we do want. And so I know every time we're working or coaching with someone in their individual life, no matter where they are in their journey, no matter what problems they're experiencing, no matter how long it's been going on, no matter how seemingly sophisticated or insurmountable it is, we know through the power of a changed mind that someone can absolutely transform their reality. And that the life that they've created is based on the belief systems that they have. And so that's what I mean by all as well. Any situation or circumstance can be changed. And so we're in the process of creating well-being globally, which we have not experienced well-being globally. There are people who experience well-being in their own individual lives. And the mechanism by which we are creating a global well-being is through experiencing a heightened or increased example or illustration of what we don't want and becoming aware of it. So a lot of the systems and structures that have been in place for a long, long time that have allowed, for example, let's say regulatory organizations in the US and around the world to become captured by the companies and the individuals who they are meant to regulate, that's been going on a long time. We're just becoming aware of it. Dangerous experimentation of biochemical weapons has been going on a long time. We're just becoming aware of it. Nations using false pretenses to go into war in order to either seize resources that they're interested in or to put themselves in a better position of global control and power. That's been around for a long time. We're just becoming more aware of it. And so I would say all is well. This is a process of well-being. It's a process of well-being making. Now you can say, yeah, but Dave, hold on a second. There are terrible things that are going on in the world. There are 300,000 Ukrainians who have died. Look how many millions of people who died as a result of COVID. Look at the rape and pillaging of African nations. Look at the genocides and the Holocaust that are taking place in the world that have been taking place in a variety of nations, not just what some people believe is taking place right now in Palestine with the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and the Hamas conflict in Gaza region. Yes, I'm not suggesting that these are things that we like. In fact, I'm suggesting that these things are designed to exist because they help us become clear on the fact that we don't want to see these things happen to ourselves or happen to other people. And so that allows us to be even clearer on what we do want to create. Like we had a Holocaust so that we can be clear that we never want to allow something like that to happen again, right? That we want to respect all peoples. We had slavery exist for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years across multiple races so that we could be even clearer on the importance of the right of the individual and personal sovereignty and equality among all peoples, which we're still moving towards. We're not there yet. This is the process of civilization. And I'm also aware that it seems more dramatic than it is when we think we only have one life. And so, by the way, everything I'm proposing here is a hypothesis. It's not just me, it's other great teachers and thinkers, and I'm weaving together different pieces in order for us to understand how to better emotionally cope with what we're seeing going on in the world, especially for those of us who are, quote unquote, waking up to understanding some of the geopolitical, global, sociological, economic dynamics that have been around for a while, but that we're just now becoming more acutely aware of, vis-a-vis some of the examples that I'm giving. This is what the conversation is about. And you can entertain this hypothesis. You can just let it sit with you. And there's a lot of pieces to this. This is not a simple episode this week. It's an important episode. But I think we don't understand the death process. We don't understand the experience of life, whether it's finite, whether it's infinite. And what I would suggest is that consciousness just consistently reincarnates and incarnates and reincarnates and incarnates. And so if you take out the seriousness of one life, one death, if you take out the seriousness, which it is, of the emotional pain of losing someone you care about, if you take out the seriousness of some of the ways that people are being treated and some of the ways that people are dying, which are savage and cruel, and you realize that once we leave the physical body, after we go through that experience, we come back in and we have another experience. And if we can buy into this idea that when we come into the physical experience, we actually know what we're coming into and we know what we're going to live through as part of sort of this experience of the superorganism of consciousness, so that we can have all of these different data points and touch points of what we do want and what we do don't want and what we do like and what we don't like, and that this is the process of creating a more evolved organism or a more evolved experience on Earth or a more evolved humanity, then we can go, well, that's really, it is a shame that people have to go through, for example, the physical pain, but then they leave, they come back, and it's very much reminds me of when I used to play Super Mario Brothers and I'd fall down some pit or have some magic mushroom, kill my character, Mario or Luigi, and then boom, I'd start over again. And so that is what I've come to believe around the experience. Now, that doesn't mean that I condone cruel behavior towards other people. It doesn't mean I condone anything. In fact, it's just the opposite of it. Every time I see a wrong in the world, I get more aligned with the right that is in the process of materializing and emerging. And I bring my attention to that rightedness, to that betteredness, to that well-beingness. But this isn't what most people do. And that's why I want to have this conversation with you. Most of us become entangled with, I don't know what you describe it, with chaos porn. We just start watching chaos porn. You know, at night before you go to bed, you're scrolling through your feed on YouTube. And I've right here, I've done it too, trying to break the habit, listening to the chaos du jour that has emerged around how we found out that our own government was spying on us, or the latest with Snowden, or what's happening with Julian Assange, or how much money is Nancy Pelosi making off of the things that she's voting for, right? So, and it's not about left or right. This is like a systemic phenomenon that's taking place. And that's why I said some of you are in the phenomenon. You realize this isn't a right or left issue. It's not a Fox News, CNN issue. And some of you are still like just below the surface of the phenomenon. You think that it's actually some other group of people's fault. And so, again, what are we doing? We're having a conversation about how we can be with this, with well-being. I had one of my clients say, hey, I want your opinion on how to apply the principles, the root cause principles, the metaphysical principles, the personal development principles, the business principles that you teach. How do I apply those to the fact that like I now want to just buy a bunch of gold or Bitcoin and purchase a semi-automatic weapon and live on a ranch somewhere and grow some cattle and be off the grid and have canned tuna in my pantry? I said, well, you can go do that. There's a lot of people doing that. I mean, there's a whole prepper community. I didn't want to live my life prepping. So I chose not to. But I also understand root cause and metaphysical principles that really govern our reality. And so that has helped inform some of the choices that I'm making. And my suggestion to her was, you've become informed. Now stop paying attention to it. Stop paying attention to it and decide what you want to create in your life. What brings you joy? The mind will bring its attention to that which moves us into fight or flight. Fear has a predominant advantage over happiness in our lives, and it's partly due to the fact that our nervous system is, let's call it an ancient nervous system. It's, let's call it a reptilian nervous system. It's a protective nervous system. And so unless we use our higher awareness faculties, our ability to control our thoughts, to shift our emotions, to bring our attention and focus where we choose, left to our own devices, we're just going to pay attention to threats. And then you combine that with the social media kind of dopamine hit, the addictive mechanisms that social media have become, were developed under. And then you also look at the polarity that's created through the media between, like, let's say, a two-party system and a left and a right and a friend and an enemy, and how we begin to almost assume an identity based on our association, regardless of who's in office. It's like you're being a fan of a sports team, regardless of the fact that the players are being traded all the time and you may not agree with those choices. You're just sort of a diehard fan, which is fine, I guess, when it comes to sports, but it's problematic when it comes to sovereignty and democracy and an electoral system. But the whole thing is designed for us to take sides and then be addicted to consumption, which generates fear. And some people believe this is by design. Some people believe that this was just sort of like a natural evolution. But what's important to understand is that fear is actually the problem. So in another episode that I mentioned earlier, A New World Order, It's Time to Have the Conversation, what I talked about was we create our own lives. If you're listening to this, you're hip to this conversation. Thoughts are things. You're creating your own reality. You're a powerful creator. And you know, if you don't have the money in your bank account, it's because you haven't yet become the person emotionally and psychologically that should have a lot of money in your bank account. You need to change your belief systems. If your business is not where you want it to be, there's some resistance there that wants to be uncovered and transformed and healed. It's a misunderstanding you had from when you were a child and you thought money was hard to make, or if you want to do things right, you have to do it yourself. And it's creating a bottleneck in this vision, this desire you have for growth in your business. That's actually a good thing. Our goals, our dreams, our desires help reveal the bottlenecks, the psychological, emotional bottlenecks that are stored in our nervous system. They're stored in our soma. They're represented by the neural networks of our brain and our memories. And when we get stuck in our third dimensional life, we go inward to look at how are we reacting to this experience externally. And we realize that our reaction is actually what created the external challenge in the first place. It's, in other words, it's the cause of the external challenge. It's not the effect. When you date another person and you're in a toxic relationship and you feel betrayed as a result of it, that's your reaction to the experience you're having, but you've felt betrayed since you were 4 years old and something happened to you. So we're going to continue to experience that which we don't like until we go inward and we heal what needs to be healed. We re-understand what was misunderstood inside of us. Call it whatever you want, limiting beliefs, childhood stories, traumas, if we want to make it sound really big and hairy and gnarly and taking a long time to transform. Not that there aren't some experiences that are more emotionally charged. So the myelin of the nervous system is more acclimated or has a greater propensity to kind of go into that pattern. And it may take a little bit more time to change it. That's kind of what trauma is. It was just a deeper emotional response, which is represented neurophysiologically in the body. But it doesn't mean that you can't change the habit. All habits can be changed. And as we change the habit of really, if we were going to boil it down, of fear, all limiting beliefs, all traumas are a misinterpretation that create fear in the nervous system. We move into the sympathetic expression of the nervous system. If we can start to transform those resistances, we move more into parasympathetic. We move more into rest and relaxation. We move into a powerful state. And as a result, you start having more thoughts, more ideas. You create kind of circumstances and situations and synchronicities that are aligned with the outcome that you want to produce, and your life changes. That's how you change your life. There was like a 3-minute dissertation on how you change your life. I've got a bunch of other episodes if you want to go listen to how thoughts become things or how to change a specific aspect of your life, your relationships, your health, your wealth, your business, your spiritual connection, your purpose, whatever it is. Always goes back to the same conversation. Desire plus non-resistance equals desire result. If you have a desire, the result, the desire will materialize in your life no matter what it is if you can operate consistently in non-resistance. But most of us pay too much attention to our current life, which was created out of a set of limiting beliefs and resistances. And so that becomes evidence to maintain the belief system, and we hold on to that belief. And so we hold on to the resistance, and so we never get the desired result. But if you get that your present moment is old news and you're able to actually live today as if you were prosperous and abundant, even though you don't have a lot of money in your bank account, you will very soon become prosperous and abundant. And by live, I mean feel, think, and act. And you can do that if you actually understand that this is how the game works. These are the fundamental laws, the first principled laws that govern reality. If you're living today like you're not worried that you're going to be alone for the rest of your life, and you know that your soulmate is on the way, and you're enjoying your time right now alone because you know you're going to be with this person for the rest of your life, so why not cherish your time without them right now? Boom, they're going to show up fast. That's what happens. So this is how we change our own individual realities. And there are a lot of ways to talk about this, but the way I'm bringing it into the conversation of sort of this global cabal issue that we've got going on right now is you can change your own life and you create your own life. And you can change your life by detoxifying yourself of your resistance, of your fear, of your limiting beliefs. Well, what's happened is, okay, that's the track of our own individual life, but we're living our lives together. There's 7 billion of us on spaceship Earth. And so each of us is creating our own individual life, and then those individual lives are commingling to create a collective reality. So within that collective reality, it is the byproduct of a ton of trauma. You know, if you think about it, for the last few thousand years, all we've been doing is raping, pillaging, hurting, and taking advantage of each other. Like, that was the rule. You know what I mean? I watched this movie called Origins, which I couldn't watch the end of it. It talked about the caste system and how really what was happening in the US with the Jim Crow laws was a caste system, and what happened in Nazi Germany was a caste system, and that actually the Germans based the legalities that they implemented that enabled the Holocaust off of the Jim Crow laws. And then they looked at India and the caste system, and they looked at some other nations in Latin America, South America, Africa. And man, we've just been abusing human beings for thousands of years. And that trauma has never been processed out. So we've got all these fears. We know that because it's materializing in our own life. But then you bring us all together and we're materializing this collective reality. And I talked about in the New World Order episode that I did around how thoughts become things, when enough people are focused on the same idea or feeling the same emotions, it activates ideas that reside in consciousness. So in this sort of invisible field of information are all ideas. And we activate those ideas, and then we receive those ideas again through this radioactive technology we have called the brain. We're able to, when we align our emotions and our desires with an outcome, that all of a sudden it's like, boom, it finds this thought and consciousness. It comes alive and it starts heading your way. And you have it as a thought, or someone speaks it to you, or there's some synchronicity or coincidence that reveals it to you. Like, ideas don't exist in the brain. New ideas don't exist in the brain. They exist external to your brain. They exist in consciousness. The brain is just a receiver that's translating information or ideas in consciousness when you tune yourself to the frequency of that information through desires and through emotions. So for example, Edison, it's not like the light bulb, the idea for the light bulb existed inside of him. There were enough people on the planet who were kind of like, this kerosene thing is really nice and it's better than when we were living in the dark ages, but it's a pain in the ass to kind of like light our lamps and continue to do whatever that process was, right? That John D. Rockefeller had kind of brought to the world through his vision. And so all these people are like, wouldn't it be nice if there was something else? And boom, that activates an idea in consciousness. That idea finds its way to a resonant recipient, meaning somebody whose life and who they themselves, their beingness and their skills are in alignment with the making alive of that idea by taking that idea and materializing it, literally making it matter in the world. And it found Thomas Edison. Boom. Well, by the same token, many, many people are afraid they're not going to be able to afford housing. We've done over 10,000 coaching sessions in our organization. I can't believe how many people actually are afraid they're going to end up living under a bridge. So I'm going to be without shelter. It's very primal, right? It does make sense. Like this, it's one of the fundamental needs. It's the lowest hierarchy of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, like just food and shelter. So built into us is this fear that like we're not going to have shelter. And so that thought and that emotion, let's call it that vibration, held long enough in the consciousness of so many people in humanity activates an idea that someone at one of the big three private equity firms, like BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, goes, hey, I have an idea. Like, we've got a ton of money. We're looking at controlling markets. How about we just buy up all the residential real estate in the United States and globally so that we can control housing? What happens? It becomes a reality for people that housing is now not affordable. So that's how thoughts become things. And everything that we're seeing materialize externally right now is just a representation of latent fear that's held in all of our nervous systems, unprocessed, unmetabolized, undigested, limiting beliefs and resistance and traumas that haven't been processed over the last few thousand years. Now we're seeing it expressed in modern civilization. And so we're seeing that in terms of how we're perceiving, for example, censorship and totalitarian control. I mean, there's a deep fear that you just think about it. You grew up in a family where like children were seen and not heard. So many of us were basically told that we didn't have the right to express ourselves. And so how does that, if that's not processed, that resonance is held in the nervous systems and the neural networks and the brains of human beings for so long. And then over time, it activates ideas in consciousness. They find their ways to individuals. You know, some people think it's like George Soros or Bill Gates or the guy that runs the World Economic Forum. I forget his name. I'm sure it'll come back to me. Like whoever these people are, they have these ideas and then they enact their global agenda and you got totalitarian control. But just understand that the source of these things that we don't want, that we're seeing materialize, it's us. It's you and I. And so that's the first thing I want to establish as baseline. All is well. We can change the reality. And this is the process. The process is we start creating what we don't want, and then we start experiencing it to get clear on what we do want, and then direct our attention to what we do want. Or not even direct our attention to what we do want, but don't direct your attention into the fear. Otherwise, all you're doing is you're perpetuating the whole system because the whole structure is based on fear. So fear is what enables what you're seeing externally that you don't like. And so the only thing you can really do is begin to detoxify yourself of fear. And what an amazing system that God has put in place, because here we are seeing this increase in external control, decrease, let's call it, in the quality of life or personal freedoms of a lot of people. And by the way, it depends on who you talk to. I mean, when we were in India, they were embracing the G20 because they're bringing infrastructure, clean water, roads, jobs. If you're living on the low end of the global economic totem pole, you're like, yeah, thank God for these world organizations. But if you're living in a first world country like the US, or if you look at when they have these meetings in Davos or wherever else these elites meet, there's all kinds of protests because those are the people who are like, no, you're taking our stuff away from us. We don't like your promo video that says we will have nothing and we will be happy. But that whole structure is just a mechanism that is a materialization of what is inside of us. And this is part of the process. Just like in my own life, I had to be brought to a bottom with my drug addiction, my sex addiction, my alcohol addiction, no money in my bank account, two homes in foreclosure, in order to sort of awaken me to a better way of living my life, a better set of principles. And that brought me, through the 12-step program, into a relationship with my higher power. Then I got into personal growth. Then I read Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. And then I just went down this rabbit trail over the last 10 years, understanding everything I could in terms of how reality works and who we are, from neuroscience and neurobiology to metaphysics to quantum mechanics to behavioral psychology to spiritual teachings. So that I had to hit my bottom in order for me to go, there's got to be a better way, and to start seeking it out. And so what's happening right now is we're moving towards a global bottom. And your experience of that global bottom is dependent upon whether you engage in the fear or not. I look, for example, where I happen to live. A lot of people are like, well, the U.S. is going to have a civil war. And I'm like, well, I just happened to move to Puerto Rico. Like, I fell in love with Puerto Rico. My wife and I were going to move to Mexico. We decided to come to Puerto Rico. I now have 3 acres on a mountaintop, 8,000 square foot home. I've got chickens. I've got vegetables. I've got a guy who tends to all of it because I'm like not a farmer. I've got a water cistern. I've got a backup generator. But I wasn't prepping. Like, do you get that? I'm not prepping for a civil war. But I happen to be in a place right now where if the proverbial shit hits the fan, here's where I am. And you're guided to whatever your own unique destination is that, by the way, is in alignment with your joy and with your passion. I wanted to have a mountaintop retreat home where I could do private client retreats and feel like I was living in a spa. And now I do. But I wasn't operating out of fear and going and buying a bunch of land in Texas or Tennessee and then having to learn how to be a beekeeper when that's not what I want to do. You see what I'm saying? So if you can just continue to clear out your own individual resistances, you get to have an extraordinary life. And as you start to become aware of what's happening globally, because now you're more spiritually connected, you're not as judgmental, you're open to alternative media, you stop watching the regular news because you realize like that there's nothing here that's substantive. You start surrounding yourself by other people who go, did you know that like this is how this works? And you're like, no shit, I had no idea that that's how that works. As you go through this process, what's important is that you don't get attached from a fear standpoint with this new information. Am I being clear with you? Right? Like if you're watching on YouTube, let me know if you're picking up what I'm laying down. If you're listening on the podcast, just nod your head. I'll hear it. I'll hear it through the through the ether. So it's okay that you're becoming aware of it. Don't become addicted to it. Don't become afraid of it. How do I not become afraid of it? Well, because if you're living in your joy, we already understand these principles. If you're living in your joy and you're not living in resistance, you're just going to be guided. You're going to look backwards and go, oh shit, it all worked out for me. Well, you know what? If God's plan for you was to actually just like have something happen that you didn't expect, just trust that that's the process. Like your time was up. You're moving on to your next life. It's going to be amazing. You're going to be with the same people you love. That's what our creator has done for us. No biggie. But the alternative is be afraid, perpetuate that vibration, put yourself into a position to create circumstances and situations that you don't want. That's what happens if you pay attention to all this stuff too much. And so you got to pay attention to how you feel. If you're not feeling good consuming this information, step away from it. Step away from it. And if you're having thoughts about this information that don't feel good, you can actually go back to some of the distinctions we teach in the personal development side. You can go back and watch some of my episodes, like episode 2, where I talked about personal development 1.0 versus personal development 2.0. And you'll learn a distinction, which is if you're thinking something that doesn't feel good, it's not true. So if you're worried about stuff, let's just call it God ain't worried about it for you. So stop. But if you continue to engage in that, because you're addicted to the fear, which is really what's created the modern structure that we're observing right now, is our inability to alleviate ourselves of fear, then you're going to create circumstances and situations that are unnecessarily painful for you. I heard an interview with Russell Brand, and I was watching Russell for a while. I really like Russell Brand. I really like a lot of these people. I wish I could have a conversation with them and say, hey, you're sort of perpetuating the system because the system is fear. And so while you're educating people, you're not really giving them solutions. And so they're left now scared. And now scared people continue to create systems that scare us inadvertently or advertently. And Russell Brand started out actually on the right track, like teaching people how to become spiritually connected, teaching people how to be happy, teaching people how to be in their joy no matter what was going on in their personal lives or in the world. And then he got really, really interested in this information around how global systems and structures work. And that's what he's been talking about a lot recently. And you even look at his thumbnails, it's always like World War III is here. And like, holy shit, it's the end. Granted, sometimes like even for this video, I get your attention with some language, but then I think you got to move people right into the certainty of the goodness of the future. You got to say, hey, let me explain to you what's happening here. And it's okay. Don't be afraid. All is well. You can manage this. And if you can align yourself emotionally with what feels good, there's an infinite intelligence that's going to work with you to help you play out your destiny as it's meant to be played out in as joyful, abundant, productive, peaceful, safe way as possible. But a lot of these guys are just now either inadvertently or advertently, because a lot of people are trying to play the YouTube algorithm too, like fear-mongering. And so that doesn't work. Like we talked about this. And in order for the system to change, we have to detoxify ourselves of fear. As we detoxify ourselves as fear, we're now fearless people. We start having ideas, we start connecting with other fearless people, and we will create the new system. That's how the new system gets created. By the way, this isn't some sort of like kumbaya thing. It's not the walls of Jericho where we just go around like drumming the drums and trumpeting the trumpets, and then all of a sudden the old system falls away. That's not what I'm talking about. That's actually a metaphor. The metaphor there was like, go and stop worrying and live your life, and you will become an instrument of the change, and other people will too. Well, we will all do our part. We will create the new system, and by withdrawing our fear and our attention from the old system, it will find its own way to dismantle. That's the principle, and it's really, really cool. And so I want to give you a couple metaphors for this to really anchor it in, but Russell Brand was having this interview with a guy. I don't remember. He was some sort of expert, right, on geopolitics, and he was talking about how AI now is a thing. And you combine AI with these centralized power people, the very, very powerful people who control so much of what's going on in the world at the moment. I mean, they seem to control. They really don't. That's my point. And he said, if we don't dismantle the structure in the next 3 to 7 years, it'll become the totalitarian dark ages. And I was like, man, that is so wrong. I know it's wrong because that's how wrong it feels. And so I think it's important to understand, if you look at how infinite intelligence has functioned, I think a lot of this process is bringing us back into spirituality and a relationship with a power greater than ourselves, whether that's Jesus or Allah or God or the universe. It's really interesting. Like Joe Rogan's talking about Christianity in a way that he's never been open to before. Jordan Peterson is talking about Christianity and using metaphors from the Bible. Russell Brand just recently like found Jesus. It's pretty interesting. And I think that the chaos in our life does bring us back to a relationship with a power greater than ourselves. I can only speak to that from the perspective of my own drug and alcohol recovery, but I could have never gotten sober if I didn't build a relationship with the God of my own understanding. And it can be an whatever understanding it is for you. It doesn't matter. It could be nature, universal forces, mathematics. But just there's this idea that there is like this loving, infinitely intelligence mechanism that's functioning that governs everything. And it's always working for our greatest growth, our greatest prosperity, and our greatest evolution, even in the challenges. And so this idea that like, hey, if we don't get wraps on this thing soon, it's going to become the Matrix and we're all going to be living in pods and the system's going to be feeding off of our souls. Like, no, that's not my God of my understanding. My God of my understanding is the David and Goliath God. The God of my understanding, and again, I don't know if I consider myself Christian or not. Like I have an affinity towards Jesus. I grew up in a family that didn't celebrate religion at all. My dad was Jewish. My mom was Lutheran. I got into spirituality through Buddhism. I've studied Taoism, Hinduism, science of mind. I think a lot of the stories of the Bible are examples of how consciousness works and how infinite intelligence works in our life. I have another episode where I talk about my perspective on Jesus, the Jesus question finally answered. It's a good one. Should check it out if you like this episode. But I like the David and Goliath story. I think it's this idea that it doesn't matter what type of formidable, seemingly impossible opponent or force is you're up against. If you believe that God is with you, if you believe in goodness, if you don't have any resistance inside of you, which is what David represented, then the outcome will be the outcome that it's meant to be. There's a lot of language that's used in the Bible, which is like, the battle is not yours, the battle is the Lord's to fight. And so our job is to actually be in faith, to be in peace, to be in joy, to be in compassion, to be in loving kindness, even towards our enemies. Those were the teachings, right? And some people think that that's too kumbaya, but like that's how we'll actually change things. When we can transform our nervous systems into the Christ consciousness, into the nervous system of Jesus, then we have the ability to perform miracles. And when we do that collectively, I mean, it reminds me of the last scene of Avengers Endgame, where like the entire Marvel universe showed up at the last minute and kicked the shit out of the evil people. And again, there's another conversation here, which is like, these aren't even evil people. They're just kind of facilitating the awakening process and the evolution of humanity. But I don't see that, like, if we don't hurry up, the door is going to shut. I just don't see that. I think about what God did with the story of Moses. He had Moses go and tell Pharaoh, you got to free the Hebrews. What was it, like 700,000 Jews or something like that? 70,000, 700,000? I'm not a biblical scholar. But that was the supreme example of totalitarian control. There was no way for the Hebrews to get out of slavery, period. End of story. No way out. So who shows up? God, through simple people, humble people. So Moses shows up and he says, hey, God told me you got to let the Hebrews go. Pharaoh's like, no, right? Then what happens? Plagues. God's like, let me just show you how I do this. And he brought Pharaoh to his knees. And it was all through the loyalty that Moses had to the process, not living in fear, but living in faith. And it was interesting because God used an example of totalitarian control with his chosen people to show them something really extraordinary, because he didn't just say, hey, I'm going to take you out of slavery. That wasn't the promise. He didn't use totalitarian control in the form of Pharaoh in Egypt to show his people how he can move them to freedom. No. And he didn't take them to a place called the better land. That wasn't it either. He wasn't like, hey, we're going to take you from a living hell into a better place. God actually went to the extremes, because that's how God works. And he said, I'm going to show you how we're going to go from totalitarian control to something called the promised land, the best land, the land of eternity, the land of milk and honey. And so that's what God does. And we can see it in our own individual lives. We have to understand that that's what's happening collectively as well, too. And it's important for us to stay faithful, not to go back to worshiping the golden calf, whatever that looks like for you. Not to go out of fear back into the system and say, just take me back. I'd rather have the certainty of the system because I'm afraid than to be in the space of uncertainty as the old system fades away and the new system emerges. I mean, that's what happened to the Jews as they were going into the promised land. That was Moses' biggest thing, was they just kept saying, take us back to Pharaoh. It's easier. So this is where we're ready. We're ready because we've got the tools. I mean, that's why it's the focus of my organization, to give you the tools to develop emotional resiliency, to give you the tools to develop spiritual connection, to give you the tools to actually heal the resistance and the unprocessed, unmetabolized trauma and fears that are inside of you, so that you can change your own life. And then you start to become a beacon of change for other people who then become inspired to do the same thing. And when we have a bunch of people who are living fearlessly in faith in a higher power, with a vision of a better world as a result of experiencing a world that had a lot of horrific things in it, that's how we're going to create the next evolution of humanity. It's how we're going to create heaven on earth. Like, heaven really is on earth already. It's just a matter of us materializing it, taking it from the quantum field and being able to experience it. We're able to do that as we change our vibration, as we change our nervous systems, as we heal our traumas. And the evidence of that will be the action that we take to create a new system. And the evidence of that will be the actions that sort of the old system takes to implode upon itself. But this is not a, we need to go attack the other system. This is not a, hey, we need to hurry up and figure this out in the next 3 to 7 years. This is actually giving little concern or attention to the old system and simply using it as a catalyst for getting clear on what we want to create. We want to create wonderful schooling and food for our children. We want to have healthy food and air and water for ourselves. We want to have world peace and not have any wars. We want to have very, 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 very small, if any, military budgets. We want to have a healthcare system that isn't based on propaganda and misinformation, miseducation, and corporate capture, but that affords individuals with the right tools and healing modalities for what their preference and belief systems are. We want to have access to free information. We don't want to have censorship. People should be able to speak their minds. We want to have a humanity that loves and cares for each other. We want to eradicate things like a bias or prejudice against each other based on the color of our skin. Like, I believe all those things are possible. We want everybody to be living in prosperity and abundance and have the opportunity to actually pursue their passion and contribute in the world in a meaningful way that's aligned with a life they love. All of that is possible. All of that is right here, right now. It's actually unfolding. And if you actually read between the lines, what I'm saying is that's how you should be interpreting all of these things that are scaring you as you're learning about them, because this is actually what's happening. And if you can understand that this is actually what's happening, then you can start operating from a powerful place and not only create an empowered life for yourself, but start to become a part of the change. It's really exciting. You live your life fearlessly, joyfully, faithfully. You work with the material of your life as it comes up, because it helps you identify where there's still some fear that needs to be processed. And you get to connect with other people and live your life together in this sort of faith-based, other-connected, compassionate, empathetic, intelligent way. So that's what I believe, and I'm sticking with it. And all I ask is that if you're picking up what I'm laying down and you really care about other people and you care about creating change, then share this episode with one other person. Because we have to reorient ourselves. Right now, the voice of awakening still has a pretty strong frequency of fear in it. And so we need to just evolve that conversation a little bit further. Hey, if every once in a while you want to check in on the news to kind of understand what's going on, or you get exposed to it and it creates some contrast for you, man, I really don't like how that's happening in the world. That's great. But then tune out. Spend 99% of your time enjoying your life, going for walks with people you care, working on your businesses in a passionate way, helping other people, holding the vision for how you see the world and your contribution to it. And 100% consistently, predictably, if you do that, that desire will materialize as the desired result. And if there are enough of us that are doing that simultaneously and together and in cooperation, you got a completely different planet. So I believe in the certainty of the future, and I'm excited to be creating it with you. Love you. Hope you enjoyed this episode. And again, like I said, the only thing I ask is if you did, share this with somebody else. This is a really important episode, especially if you stuck all the way through to 48 minutes of this episode. We're in this conversation together, and I consider you a brother, a sister, and a friend. Let's go out and do this together. I'll see you in the next episode.
Hey, it's David. One more thing. If you want to go even deeper on everything we've talked about on today's episode, don't forget to jump over to www.davidbaird.com. You can find the link in the show notes and subscribe to our newsletter. A couple of times a week, I'm going to be sending you the latest episodes that we've released along with additional free trainings. You'll get immediate access to my free Mind Hack ebook and go even deeper into all the tools, the technologies, the frameworks that have helped tens of thousands of people establish a changed mind. Don't forget to jump on over to the site, and I will see you in the next episode.